Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Friday. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, is Danny Burke. We are loaded up. We'll get caught up and talk some Husker football, get reaction from Jacob Padilla, our Husker hoops expert, a Bill Dolman sighting in 1 hour, Mike Babcock, our Hall of Famer with Hail Varsity, and time permitting, Mr. Klausburn with the Friday forecast. You can join us. Step on in for the Friday edition, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Numbers to get in. Give us a follow on Twitter, at Schmidt underscore radio, at Danny Burke 5, at Hail Varsity. Can email Chris at hailvarsity.com. Okay, so we'll get into some Nebraska football thoughts, some NFL. Really a couple of games to get into with the NFL this weekend that piques my interest. Today's theme is going to be high hopes, right? You have high hopes as a Nebraska fan for Saturday at 11 o'clock. What's it going to be with Nebraska? We spent all week kind of detailing some areas where, look, Nebraska's playing much better. You've seen some equity by the team put in, and it's resulted in way better performance. The fear you have, and I get being cautious, is running with what you've seen the last 2 weeks and then applying it to a team the talent level of Ohio State. Just because you did well against Minnesota and Bethune-Cookman does not mean you'll go to Columbus and do well. Most of the predictions out there, and we'll have ours in a little while, have Ohio State pushing, if not covering comfortably. A few things I've seen on social media from some Nebraska fans / former Nebraska guys, they think this is the big one. They think this is the game Nebraska pulls off the upset. And we've told you all week, like, how things can happen for Nebraska. Let's get a Friday Twitter poll question up there, Danny. You'll get it put out on ESPN Lincoln's Twitter handle. What happens first for Nebraska? Does Ohio State punt, or does Nebraska score a touchdown? That's something to kind of chew on and talk about. Some good stuff in the mailbag from HailVarsity.com a little bit earlier in the week. Nebraska has not forced a punt by Ohio State since the fourth quarter of 2012. That has just killed your Friday afternoon buzz. Here's what I do think. We've talked about what can happen. Let's talk about what likely will happen. What are you expecting from the Nebraska offense? What are you expecting from the Nebraska defense? And if you want to be bold, you can tell me what you think Ohio State's offense and defense are going to do. And here's what I think Nebraska does, and I think Nebraska will do it well to hang around. Okay, I have come to my conclusion that this thing is going to be a different Saturday than past Saturdays against Ohio State. Am I taking too much equity out of Bethune-Cookman? Am I taking too much out of the Minnesota showing? No. I know what my eyes tell me. And my eyes tell me that Nebraska has a couple of dudes at wide receiver that are hard for anybody to stop. Okay. My eyes tell me that Nebraska's run game is really good with a 1-2 punch, and the offensive line can do enough to get a run game going. And part of the reason that that can happen is because you have two threats to run the football. Not just Washington and not just Ezigbo, but your quarterback and Adrian Martinez. I think that's extremely important, and I think it jacks with a lot of defenses. The zone read, the quarterback run, the 11-on-11 element. And when I look at Nebraska and I look at Ohio State, I look at this Ohio State team, one thing that they have done very poorly, they've been schemed, out-schemed, all right? Guys have gotten just out of position, and what's been a big play has turned into a house call against their silver bullet defense. Nebraska has athletes to do that, okay? Nebraska's been able to put up some big plays against the Wisconsins of the world, against the Northwesterns of the world, and against Michigan. Second play from scrimmage was a 32-yard completion. This offense and this scheme can do damage to anybody not named Alabama or Clemson. And they had a couple feel-good plays against Michigan back before they were what they've become. And that's a very competent, very explosive offense. I believe that about this Nebraska football team. It's not just recent. They have shown it all year. And right now, they're at the top of that peak on the old roller coaster, and they're going downhill fast. That's what I think of this offense. And I think it's an offense that will, in its sleep, put up 24 to 30 points against a lot of people. Now, do they harm themselves is the question. Has the penalty issue gone away? Does Nebraska help beat Nebraska tomorrow? Ohio State can do it by themselves if they want. But is this team going to be able to do something that no Nebraska team has done for 2.5 years? Let's go into a hostile environment with the world against them and show some freaking poise. And I think that's what you want to know as a Nebraska fan. Do you get some poise on Saturday? And I'm not worried about poise from the quarterback. I'm not worried about poise from Stan. I'm not worried about poise from Ziggy. I'm worried about poise from the offensive line. I got two seniors at center and at left guard that have done a really nice job of getting better, of stepping in, of self-assessing, and then getting better. You've got two tackles that are playing really good football right now. And they want a bit of a redemption against a probably not high-octane defense like Michigan, but it's a named team. It's guys that get after the quarterback. It's a very reputable front four they're facing. But I think Nebraska can hang around, do well. And what I see Nebraska being able to do is run the football, is get 4 or 5 yards on first down with the run game, is do what they do, and that's complete some swing passes. And Ohio State's got athletes. Ohio State's going to be tough to block by the wide receivers if they want to go to the bubble game. But Ohio State's not a great in-space tackling football team. They've worked on it for 2 weeks. So maybe their inner dog comes out, and maybe they are something special. But man, they were a mess against Purdue. I would put Nebraska's offense up there with Purdue as far as skill guys and some guys with wiggle to them. I don't worry about Spielman not being able to shake loose, or Stanley throwing a stiff arm, or Maurice Washington getting the ability to bounce out and get some yards after contact or get to an edge. I don't think Ohio State's that great when it comes to open field tackling. I think Nebraska's offense can be there. Now, the problem you're going to have is what do you get from the Nebraska defense? And here's what I suspect, okay? I think, and it isn't going to be magically, but I think on an average day, I think teams can line up and probably run for 150 yards against Nebraska if they want to. Minnesota finished with 114. They scrapped it. Threw all over in the second half, got within six without a running game because they weren't supposed to be able to throw. So I'm still unsure about where the defense is, other than I know that they are better, but they're still not trustworthy. They're still not great. They are what they are. I don't see them getting pressure on Haskins. They'll need to get a break or two or three. And I'm talking plus two in the turnover battle. A couple of picks or get a fumble or something. Have a bad special teams moment for Ohio State with some missed field goal or a bad punt or a blocked punt. I mean, go wild card with me here on a special teams play in favor for Nebraska. And I look at the Nebraska defense being able to hang in for a little bit, but they're still not a four-quarter unit. All right? They are still not a unit, and that secondary is still not a unit I believe can match up and just shut somebody down if their strength is throwing the ball. I think Ohio State is going to get medieval. They are going to play some power football. They are going to line up. They'll use an H-back. They will run the football and test Nebraska out because that's the book on Nebraska. Different coach. If you punch them enough in the face, they go fetal position. Not necessarily that team anymore, but that's still the reputation if you think you're bigger, stronger, faster. And on paper, Ohio State's got bigger dudes and better offensive linemen. I mean, let's just be straight and real with the defensive line in the front seven against the run. I mean, teams really haven't tried to go at them and do it. I mean, Wisconsin did it. Michigan did it. I think Ohio State, the last 2 weeks, has soul-searched and says, let's play some tough football.
I think they're going to do it. Do you remember what J.K. Dobbins and Weber did to Nebraska last year?
Right. Different offensive line, though. But they have three-fifths of that line back. There's no threat of a quarterback run. So I think Ohio State's going to make it a point. And Nebraska's going to have an oh-crap moment on defense where they can't stop Ohio State running the football. If it turns into Haskins throwing 70 times, this thing is a shootout, and that's good for Nebraska. So if Nebraska stops the run, I don't think they'll be able to. That's how they make this thing interesting for four quarters.
Yeah, that's been their weakness since I've been here, at least in every big game. Nebraska can't stop the run.
It's been their weakness since Levante left.
Yeah, exactly. Okay? No, you're right, though. If it stays in the air, that's Nebraska's best hope. And, of course, the secondary has been suspect this whole year, but they've been improving more than I would say the defensive line has with stopping the run. So if you're a Nebraska fan, yeah, I would definitely hope it's a shootout and an air raid that way with Haskins, and you just pray that the defensive line brings some pressure at some point.
Well, and you're gonna need a guy to break out of his shell and get after the quarterback, or you're going to have some sweet blitzes get home, like the Colorado game. I mean, a guy like a Colin Miller or a guy like a Ben Stilley. I mean, can they have big games? Can they make impacts? Luke Gifford's been your guy off the edge. Can they disrupt? Not necessarily get home, but can they disrupt? And they'll have to. They'll have to. They'll have to, and the secondary is going to have to play as clean as they've ever played before. I don't know that they can do that because Ohio State, I mean, Paris Campbell, brother, you get him in space, he is gone. So I don't look for the defense being able to get enough stops tomorrow. All right.
I think you made a good point though too. I think the only way Nebraska can be in this game throughout four quarters, they're going to have to get a big play, whether it's
they're
on special teams
help.
Or a turnover. Mm-hmm. That'll be the only way they can stay in the game if they get some kind of huge turnover or special teams play.
Well, and if I'm putting money down, I would put money down that Ohio State's defense is more likely to get a stop. As much as I build up Nebraska's offense, it still isn't perfect. Ohio State's defense is more likely to get a stop than a Nebraska defense.
For sure.
And then it turns into Madden. Okay. And if you're Nebraska, this is also the reality. You've got a quarterback in Adrian Martinez that we love talking to yesterday. We're extremely blessed to have him on the show. But don't kid yourself, dude. As mature as he is and as good of a teammate as he is, he's a freaking competitor. He wants to win. Okay. And good write up by Sip today when he was talking with Super Mario. Is can you keep and stay content to just do your job versus on offense, the reality of having to score every series? That's real. If your defense can't get you any stops, Frost said it earlier this week, you're going to win with offense. More likely to win with offense. The defense is getting better, but right now they are what they are, and that's winning by outscoring teams. Because you're just not that reliable on defense yet. That's what it comes down to. And do you press on offense if you've got an answer? That's a fair question. And as good as the offense has been, as good as the quarterback has been, you can make a mistake. Can you have Sammy hang on? We'll get to the phones here in a minute. What do you think happens tomorrow? And do you have high hopes? Is this a different Saturday for you with Nebraska against a prime-time opponent? That's what I think happens. I think Ohio State runs the football. I don't think Nebraska's defense gets enough stops, but I think Nebraska's offense is good enough to keep them in it for longer than previous Ohio State adventures. We'll have a score prediction coming up in an hour and a half. Great to be with you on Friday here with Hail Varsity. We'll get to some of your calls. Jacob Padilla's coming up. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Find us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio, at @DannyBurke5.
Now live from the ESPN Lincoln Studios, it's Hail Varsity.
I know what that means.
With Chris Schmidt and Danny Burke.
Back to you on a Friday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Jacob Padilla shortly. Sam, thanks for hanging on the line. Go ahead, bud.
Yeah, I just like to say, you know, I love this Adrian Martinez, man. He is off the hook. You know, and I see the future for Nebraska football being really good on that. You know, I mean, we got to get back on defense, and that's all good. That's all good. You know, we'll shake and bake with that. But, you know, I think this kid's going to take us to the future.
He is the future, Sam, and he is that good. You're right on with that. Thanks for hanging on, man. Appreciate the call. And, yeah, he just needs some help around him. He needs some defense around him. And that'll come. We bring in a tremendous writer with HailVarsity.com and magazine. He's all over volleyball. He's all over basketball. He does an amazing job with football. Jacob Padilla with us at @JacobPadilla_ on Twitter. Jacob, you're just a tad busy this weekend. How are you, man?
I'm doing well, Chris. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's that time of year when basically all my beats are going on at the same time. So a little busy, but it's fun.
I know, and we're going to get your take on New England, Green Bay before you say goodbye as well. Okay, your gut feel about tomorrow with Nebraska football. We kind of laid out how Nebraska can win this thing throughout the week. I told you what I think happens tomorrow, where Ohio State's just a bit too good. And I know you've profiled the offensive line on HailVarsity.com. How do you think they play tomorrow?
Yeah, that'll go a long way towards determining whether or not Nebraska's able to play with Ohio State. They definitely have done better. You've seen massive progress, I think, from Brendan Hymas, mm-hmm. who I think was kind of had a low point in that Michigan game where in like every other play, he was kind of out of position or getting beat just like everybody else on that line. And since then, like, you've hardly ever noticed him at all making a mistake. You see him flying all over the place, really pulling, getting out, throwing some big blocks, and the rest of the guys kind of have followed along in that. Noah, Nick Bosa certainly helps things in that regard, I think. And I think Scott Frost is going to do a good enough job from a play-calling perspective to give those guys a chance to do what they need to do to allow Nebraska's offense to move the ball. I think if they can avoid the holding penalties and the false starts and all those kind of little things that they really started to clean up over the last few weeks, and I think they'll have a chance to at least put up some points against this Ohio State defense that definitely has some holes in it.
See, yeah, I mean, I think you nailed it with Scott's going to have a great game plan, and if there's ability and time to execute it, I think Adrian's feeling pretty good. I expect him to be poised tomorrow. He's had some – it took him a little bit to settle down against Wisconsin, which I totally get. You know how big of a cluster it was against Michigan, because although they had 11 on the field, I think they had 22, you know? I mean, that's just how it looked with the speed and the ability of that Michigan front seven, and their back four was tremendous. Let's go to the Nebraska defense right now. Do you have a take on what Ohio State is going to do? Are they going to stick to what they've been doing, and that's, all right, Haskins, save us, and let's chuck it around, and we'll get what we can eke out running? Or do you think they flip it on its ear and try and run it down Nebraska's throat?
I think they might try to run it at least a little bit. I don't think we're going to see a Wisconsin-style running attack, right, regardless of what happens. But I think they'll kind of test Nebraska early on to see if their defense is ready to stop anybody at this point. And if they don't find success early on, I think they'll kind of fall back into what they have been doing, which is just airing it out. And we've kind of seen a similar, not from a talent perspective, but kind of a similar profile team play against Nebraska and Northwestern, mm-hmm, who couldn't really run the ball, didn't try very much, and just dropped back and aired it out 60 times, and Nebraska couldn't stop Northwestern's Flynn Nagel in the slot. And that's kind of the area that worries me the most, because they still haven't quite figured out who that nickel back is at this point, who they've kind of rotated a few different guys in there. So I think Ohio State is probably going to do what they do because they do see a weakness with Nebraska's secondary in terms of the way they've covered the season. DeCaprio Boodle and Lamar Jackson have certainly gotten much better, played some of their better games the last few weeks. But I think Nebraska has still struggled to stop teams through the air, and Ohio State is going to test that, especially, again, in that slot when Nebraska's in its sub-packages. We have to see if maybe Cam Taylor can emerge there. Mm-hmm. I know Aaron Williams has struggled in that spot at times. He's got JoJo Doman kind of working in there, seeing some time on defense now. So that's kind of what I'm looking for, I think, to being one of the bigger matchups, is what happens when Ohio State spreads Nebraska out and really attacks them through the air.
Well, think about Dobbins and Weber. There's no Samuel. There's no Curtis Samuel, thank God, this year. But
would be a disaster.
Right, but you got Cam and JoJo that you haven't seen a lot of, but I love their athleticism, and I've always liked JoJo's ability to be an impact guy. And he's been a pretty solid tackler, right? I mean, on special teams, that's what we've seen of him, but that's open field, you know? So yeah. I feel all right with him. He'll need a big game, or Nebraska fans will need to see him on the field to have that opportunity. So how many Nagels does Ohio State have? How worried should you be?
Yeah,
I'm joking, because Ohio State's got like 15 dudes that are 10 times better wideouts than Nagel. That's why I threw it out there.
Yeah, I don't know if they have anybody that's going to do it the same exact way that Nagel did, but they definitely have some athletes out there, KJ Hill, Paris Campbell, and all those other dudes.
Right.
Jacob, I want to switch over to Husker hoops really quick. Of course, Nebraska had the big win over Wayne State last night, but there were some concerns throughout the game, and a couple of those being they had 11 turnovers and then were shooting 15.4% from three. If you're a Nebraska fan, are you able to be concerned about this heading into the season in just a couple weeks?
Yeah, the turnovers I'm not worried so much about. I mean, four of them were from Amir Harris, a true freshman, and another two were from Thorbjørn Arson. And so that's 6 of your 11 right there from guys that and Amir, who's kind of just getting his first action, and Thor, who's a little further down the depth chart. But the shooting is definitely starting to become a trend. We saw in that close scrimmage against Iowa State, saw a box score, and they shot 9 of 26 in that one. And in the open practice, the scrimmage type of thing, it was only 16 minutes against themselves, but like I was kind of charting, and I had them 3 for 26 from 3 between the two teams. So you've got 9 for 26, 3 for 26, and now 4 for 26 from 3 in this game. And that includes 2 of 17 from your starting 5 against Wayne State last night. So that shooting is always something that Nebraska has struggled with. They weren't great at it last year, and that, I think, was a big problem. It's two guys in particular. I think we'll see Thomas Allen be a good shooter. Isaac Copeland, he's going to be a good shooter. Not worried about those guys. Roby will be a good shooter in smaller volume than some of the other guys. So those guys I'm not necessarily worried about. It's James Palmer Jr. and Glenn Watson Jr. Those are the two guys that they really needed to get that shooting turnaround from last year. Watson, he shot 29%, and Palmer, after a decent start, went ice cold and shot 31%. And that's just not going to get it done. And those two haven't shot well yet in any of these games that we've seen. So it's still early. The coaches have really liked what they've seen from those guys in off-season workouts and preseason practices and everything. And Miles said yesterday, too, they didn't really run sets offensively. They just kind of threw them out there and let them play. So in a real game, I think they're going to put Palmer and Watson, some of these guys, in a little bit better spots to get some better shots. But at the same time, those shots still have to fall. And they haven't really done that yet.
Jacob Padilla is with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine, talking hoops and football at Jacob Padilla _. That's the thing. 17 attempts. You drive and kick. You're open. You got to hit it. Do you have an identity for Nebraska? Are they going to say, all right, man, if it doesn't turn around, for lack of a better term, Palmer, just get it to the rim, my friend. Don't not take a three, but take a better shot. Same with Glenn. Can that be communicated? If that's not their strong suit, will they continue to force threes?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because to be as good as Andy Katz and some of these other people think Nebraska has a potential to be, mm-hmm. those guys have to be able to hit those shots. So you can't necessarily just abandon the three-point line.
I'm not saying do that.
No, for sure. No, I get what you're saying. So you can't really abandon that three-point line and just tell them, hey, just it's not going to happen. Like, you need those guys to figure it out, hopefully at some point. But you definitely do. You can't afford to be throwing up as many of the bricks as we saw on some of these shots against really good teams. So they've got, that's a balance that Tim Miles, I think, is going to have to find all season long, between encouraging his guys to be aggressive and play their game, but also being smart and making sure they're taking the right shots. And I think we'll see that as the chemistry kind of builds with Thomas Allen as that fifth starter and working a few guys, other guys in, I think we'll see guys kind of fall into those roles a little bit more. Palmer, I think, will have the ball in his hands a lot. Be looking to Miles even mentioned they played him a little bit at point in the exhibition last night. So I think they'll have him looking to maybe encourage him more so than looking to get that jumper off when he's got the ball, is to make plays for others or continue to get to the rim. Saw a couple of charges in that game last night, but that'll happen from time to time when you attack like Palmer does. But That's definitely going to be a balance they're going to have to find all season long. But I think it will improve naturally as they kind of work off some of the off-season rust and build a little bit more chemistry.
Jacob, 30 seconds. You're the biggest Packer fan I know, next to my Uncle Dave. What happens against Tom Brady on Sunday night?
Well, I'm not confident. It was kind of a crushing blow coming off that Rams game, but the Packers are definitely playing better, and I like that Mike McCarthy is letting Aaron Jones finally run the ball a little bit. So I think it's going to be a close game, and I think whoever's going to end up having the ball last is going to win this one. Hopefully the Packers won't give the ball right back to the Patriots when they have a chance to have it last this time.
Jacob Padilla, all over Husker volleyball, Husker hoops, and Nebraska football at Jacob Padilla _. You can read him with HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Jacob, have a great weekend. We'll be following and reading you. Thanks for the time today, man.
Yep, thanks for having me, Kurt.
Awesome. All right, good stuff from Jacob. He nailed it. Get me a balance, please, with three-point attempts and getting to the rim from a couple of guys struggling from beyond the arc.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
20 minutes away from the Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports' Bill Dolman, Mike Babcock, Hall of Famer, historian and author, all over Nebraska football coming up, and perhaps a Clausburn sighting. You can join us 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865, or email chris@halevarsity.com. Find and follow us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio, at @DannyBurke5, at Hail Varsity on Twitter. Boots are on the ground up in Columbus. Brandon Vogel, Aaron Sorensen, Derek Peterson, they're in C-Bus. And I think there's a little more optimism out there for what Nebraska can do offensively against Ohio State tomorrow. Part of that's the urban drama. Part of that's the reality that Ohio State's an average defense. I mean, they're ranked around what Minnesota is doing, right around there. So you have some faith there. High hopes also can be a slogan for this basketball season, because you have Andy Katz, you have Mr. Gooden, you have a bunch of people. The hot, trendy pick right now, say it with me, is Nebraska-ball. And as much as I love their lineup and what's back and how hungry they are and the fact that they did some special things with really a narrow margin for error last year, can they do it with that bullseye on their back? That's what the AD, the Moose Man, wants to know from his head coach. And did you go last night down to PBA? We were broadcasting live down in the rail yard in front of the Hail Varsity offices. Gorgeous weather. It was a lot of fun. Folks were into it. And from what I watched, and I saw the first half and a few minutes into the second half before I had to go get Junior from his basketball practice, and I want to say thank you to the Lincoln Nets coaches for running his ass doing lines, because he was all sorts of tuckered out last night. It's what we like, what we want as parents. But, okay, my knee-jerk reaction from last night is it was I don't want to say sloppy. I thought the effort was good, but it was an exhibition, and they could have looked and been cleaner against a team like Wayne State. Because knee-jerk, oh no, the sky is falling, naysayer, quick take here is, okay, if they don't, and they won by 35, all right, so shut up. I get it.
Because the expectations are higher, man.
No, but you want to see him hit some shots.
That would be nice, too.
Right? I mean, you want to see him hit some shots, and if they're going to have the athleticism and the length and the ability to take folks off the drive, you got a bunch of dudes that are just super freak athletic, and they're skilled ball players, and they've played together, all right? What I didn't see last night was the execution side. Shots didn't go down. And it's not that shots didn't go down when Hakeem Olajuwon or Patrick Ewing are trying to guard you with that either shot deflection or shot altering. Now, this is Wayne State, that you went 4-26-4 from three-point land in your home building. And maybe it'll get better. Here's Tim Miles last night, asked about, hey, are you concerned with the shooting? Because that's my biggest takeaway. That's my biggest talking point. What type of consistency is this team going to have from downtown to help open things up so you're not clogged in the lane?
Yeah. I mean, you can't sit there and look at 4-26 and say, oh, we're fine. You know, I mean, you know, Isaac Copeland shot really well, did not shoot well. We didn't do much for him, you know, but at the same time, I think we'll shoot it better. I don't think we're going to be a great, we're not like a 40% three-point shooting team, but we need to be mid-30s, you know.
Thomas Allen's your dude. I go back to his outing against Kansas. This is a year ago. But fearless, I think he was 3-5 from three-point land in that game, 13 points. He's your guy. He is your marksman. James can get hot. Cope is a nice stretch. And I remember him against Creighton. And Cope was a good, I mean, he's the second-best three-point shooter last season. And then Roby, he can take more, but his spot's top of the key. I mean, that's where I see him catch and make those.
And
right?
he's got the nice move where if he has that three-point threat, exactly, he gets a pump fake, drives it to the lane, creates opportunities, that's all day.
He can pump fake, blow by you, and then it's poster time.
Mm-hmm.
James Palmer, what can happen with James this year. Again, following, are you concerned about the three-point shooting? Were you concerned about James going 4-for-12? We're not trying to go mountain mole here. Mountain mole hill here. But you're not far away from Seton Hall coming to town. You're not far away from Creighton. You're not far away from Big Ten play. These are all, you're not far away from Kansas City. And the tournament down there in Power and Light against some dudes. I mean, these are all games you're going to need because the Big Ten's going to be markedly better this year. And great, you can be picked to go fourth, and you can probably finish sixth or seventh this year in the Big Ten and get to the dance. But do you want to eke in or do you want to dominate? Do you want to be a projected four seed that Andy Katz has you as right now? Exhibition game, sky isn't falling, but bricks were last night. James Palmer, does he get going?
I got to get him going a little bit. But, you know, James, you know, I played him at some point. I mean, we played some lineups. We don't get to practice very much. You know, we played Copeland at the three, Brady and Tanner. I wanted Roby out there, too. Not all four of them at the same time, but I wanted three of them on the floor at the same time a couple different times. So and we don't get to practice that much, but those are going to be lineups we're going to have to, in some form, you know, like Tanner and the other two or Brady and the other two to kind of protect Brady a little bit. So getting back to Palmer, one, we just, you know, we got to figure out where we're putting him in. And one, you know, we'll integrate him more often too as we run plays and sets. Tonight was strictly motion, so sometimes it feels like he gets caught in the corner just hanging around. Then he gets the ball later in a possession and he's trying to make a play and he just goes with the territory. But we'll get James going and James will get himself going too.
But you've seen that movie where offensively, if someone's not getting to the rim and finishing or someone's not hot, you get stagnant on offense and you ask, what are we running? I'm doing the bubble thought of a Nebraska fan on offense.
Can I give you props really quick first? I was impressed with your line, the sky isn't falling, but bricks were.
Thank you.
I got a good laugh out of that. That was good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't even started feeding you gin yet.
I know. Pat yourself on the back for that.
No, I will break my arm patting myself on the back. You still have the mustache.
Kind of. I trimmed it up and now it just looks weirder. So I just got to shave it all.
Listen, brother, if you go, you got to let it grow. You got to let it flourish.
But see,
Freddie Mercury and Queen's coming. The movie's coming out, brother. You got to tribute Freddie.
I don't have the pipes, man.
No, you don't have the teeth either. Thank God. But you can try and do the mustache. Freddie had a monster mustache.
Well, the thing is, I planned it out perfectly where I could have it for a decent amount of time without going to the gym. But today I went to the gym, so that's why I trimmed it up a little bit, you know?
Why? Are you afraid of frightening somebody in the gym with your mustache? Or are you afraid of being identified wrongfully of being near a school zone?
Yes.
Right? You don't want to look like that
that's
guy.
That's the answer to both, yes.
That's driving the ice cream truck.
Exactly.
Get it. That's the danger of trying to pull off the mustache look.
Exactly.
It's mugshot time. That is Danny Burke, the pride of Chicago. We got to get a picture of your mustache here and send it out. The yay or the nay vote.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, winding down Hour 1, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the pride of Chicago, is Danny Burke. You look like any extra or actor I've seen in movies set in Chicago with your mustache. What was the
I'll take that as a compliment.
I mean that. Like The Fugitive? Remember the movie with Harrison Ford? Tommy Lee Jones?
I don't know if I've seen that one.
My God.
I knew you were going to kill me for it.
It's all right, dude. I mean,
hey, you know what I watched, though? So over last weekend, I saw the first Godfather finally, and then I saw Goodfellas also.
Good. What'd you think?
I liked them. And I'm starting the second Godfather. The second one's the better one, right? Isn't that
a lot of people say it's better? You're going to anger us. You'll have to ask Dolman.
Okay.
Because he's kind of... He's for real with his takes on mafia movies.
Because I thought the second one's the highest rated movie of all time or something.
Yeah, Godfather 2 is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And for Godfather 1 and 2 to be that good as that 1-2 punch was, they hosed it with 3.
Yeah. So then what do you think is better, Goodfellas or Casino?
See, they're very similar.
I love Casino. I've seen Casino a couple times now.
No, Casino.
Goodfellas the one.
See, Goodfellas was so awesome because I loved Ray Liotta's character and narration.
Right.
But Casino was, Sharon Stone was super smoking in that one. But Pesci was just, he was a maniac in both. But I kind of get a kick out of some of his lines in Casino.
Yeah.
Where, I mean. Where
you like the blackjack scene, I know. You quote that all the time.
That was hilarious. That was so good. We'd play it for you, but we'd never be on the air again. Should we get someone qualified? A week from today, the giveaway for the Black Friday road trip, Iowa City. Your friends at T.O. Haas Tire hooking you up. That's gas. That is tickets to Nebraska, Iowa. That is hotel. That's a jet splash certificate to wash the Iowa off your car. It's good stuff. And you know what? This weekend can make you feel a lot better about that Black Friday showdown. Let's get you qualified. Caller 8, caller 9 now with Hail Varsity and ESPN.
Worse? How could they get any worse? We're at the threshold of hell!
Is this heaven?
It's Iowa.
The jolliest bunch of fools this side of the nut house.
Hey, you know, America loves points.
Thank you, Bob Diaco. Okay, caller 8, caller 9. Qualify. Coming up, Bill Dolman and good stuff from Jacob Padilla. You have Mike Babcock and Klausburn. The Friday forecast is almost en route. That's next hour. We're talking Nebraska football and high hopes. Saturday, and is this the most confident you've felt in a long time heading in? Are you still kind of like, eh, Nebraska will be better, they'll score, but it's still going to be something that I need lots of Captain Morgan to overcome. Don't forget, Real Red Reaction, myself, JP, the Pride of Chicago, the mustached Danny Burke, tomorrow, right after Nebraska, Ohio State. We'll take your calls. We'll get the post game. We'll go to Columbus. Real Red Reaction, as soon as Nebraska, Ohio State finishes up, we're on right here. ESPN Lincoln with it. We'll be at Casa de Bolte. Buried somewhere in South Lincoln in a basement bar area. Hour two coming up.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you back. Hour two, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, is Danny Burke. And we say hi to NBC Sports' Bill Dolman, the Pride of Fairbury. At Bill Dolman on Twitter. Billy D., how are you, man?
You know, I'm doing pretty well. Didn't have any kids come by for Halloween, so I'm stuck here with like 5 pounds of Butterfingers, Kit Kats and Twix, so it'll be fat and sassy throughout the course of the winter for me.
See, Junior had 2 giant bowls worth, and I have been going through to get some of the Snickers and some of the Kit Kats, but we didn't have anyone come to our door. It was pretty awesome.
Well, that doesn't surprise me, actually. But nevertheless, I was a little surprised to not have anybody come by my place, although we had like 3 inches of snow the night before. But anyway, it was surprising, and I'm okay with it.
Okay, before we get into Nebraska, Ohio State, and some Nebraska basketball, because they shot 4 for 26 from three-point land last night, did you have a mustache phase in your early 20s or when you got right out of college? Danny Burke is rocking the stash. He even trimmed it so it looks a little Jimmy Buffett-esque, pencil thin. Did you ever try and pull that look off?
No. That I began my career about 2 months or a month before I graduated college, and was not about to experiment on Cornhusker football or Big Red Wrap-Up or anything like that at all.
That's the beauty of radio.
I really haven't either. Yeah, well, yeah. But at the time, that was TV.
Okay, and how did that work? Sunday morning, some guy named T.O. calls you.
When I got the gig?
Yeah.
I don't remember. It was early in the morning when he first called me to do the Osborne Show stuff with Husker Vision. It was like 7 o'clock in the morning, and I got the "Hello, Bill. This is Tom Osborne," and of course, you don't believe it to be true.
Hurts.
Be down like in a half hour or so. So, and for some, you know, God bless the traffic down Vine Street, and I made it from Bedhead to his office in about 30 minutes flat, so the rest is history.
Did you pull the Jake Taylor opening scene of Major League where your head's screaming and you're like, if you're going to call me up, tell me at least you're with the Yankees, you know, who is this?
Yeah, absolutely. You don't believe it to be true, but at the same time, I wasn't going to roll the dice and say, no, that wasn't, that wasn't him. So, but yeah, that was a fun day. That was a fun memory.
That's pretty good. Bill Dolman's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, NBC Sports, the Pride of Fairbury, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Bill, how have you put together the Ohio State-Nebraska game here? You've heard the thoughts from both coaches. You no doubt saw Urban's press conference. Coach Frost is pretty confident. I think Nebraska's in a good spot, but Ohio State's been just dominant over Nebraska. What happens tomorrow?
Well, I don't really get what's going on at Ohio State. I mean,
I do.
You know, they've had are we watching the same movie we saw before?
Yes.
It has been a very strange year from the outset. You know. From when Brett McMurphy broke the story about the assistant coach and the domestic abuse and then the investigation and three games. I mean, everything off the field has created just a really disjointed season there. And I don't know how great they were going to be anyway. I mean, people rank them high because they're Ohio State. But there are a lot of problems, relatively speaking, on that football team. And it's not just Nick Bosa getting hurt in, what was it, the TCU game, and then, you know, being out and then saying, I'm out of here. Haskins is a nice story, and I'm guessing maybe twice tomorrow, the over-under, on how many times we're going to see him as a 7-year-old in Ohio State uniform, dreaming one day of becoming the Buckeye. I mean, how many times do we have to see that? It's like, oh, hey, by the way, Jerome Bettis is from New York, or from Detroit. I know. And now, after one loss, all of a sudden, and I certainly hope that Urban Meyer is okay, but now it's the health issues ever risen. You've got the billionaire donor saying he will be back. Okay, well, who's pulling the strings then? If it's this billionaire, you know, dude that says, no, he's going to be coaching, but now the rumor is that Ryan Day is going to be named the coach in waiting, which would stun me that Ohio State is going to go with a guy who was the head coach for three. People are saying, well, they've had 2 weeks to prepare after the loss to Purdue, and they're unbeaten, you know, in what, they're 5-0 after Urban loses a game, and he's 48-4 all time after a loss or something along those lines. But why are we talking about coaches in waiting? And Ryan Day? What happened to Luke Fickell, who's, you know, at Cincinnati, who's now been a head coach for a couple of years and was there before? So I just think there's a lot of strange stuff going on at Ohio State, and maybe it's all to distract the fact that this is not going to be, you know, a team that's going to make the playoff anyway. So let's not talk about what's going on the field. I think it's strange.
It is, and I think you had the president get overruled. Urban, like, tried to flex with, no, you're not suspending me. This is what I believe. And he ended up getting suspended. Him and Gene Smith now probably hate each other. There's tension there because Gene has had Urban's back for forever, and it turns out that you not only are you employing a scumbag like Coach Zach Smith, but you've been covering for him for how many times, how many stops. And I think there's, I don't want to say an ultimatum, but I think Urban had to, to put together a playoff run. He has to have a playoff run to get these people off his back. They go blow it against Purdue and get rolled. another explosive offense is coming to town with Coach Frost, and you know it's going to test the defense. And now it's time to play the sympathy card from the top and the bottom deck and get his local and his national guys that he talks to, like four people. So that narrative's there. You have the narrative of, okay, Urban's been battling headaches and he's got a brain situation. So he either has not been himself and this is why they're going to be 10-3, God forbid, or look at him fight back and come back and, man, he got Michigan. Here's your storyline for why Ohio State should be in the playoff. That's the table that's being set.
Look, they're ranked eighth. This is not a playoff team.
This is not one of the
top four teams, you know, in the country by any stretch of the imagination. You know, and I think based on what we've seen so far, doesn't matter what happens with LSU and Alabama this weekend. I think both of those two teams are better than Ohio State and should be in the playoff. Notre Dame, certainly they're going to have everybody trying to keep them in to the playoff position. You know, if Michigan is playing pretty well right now, but Ohio State is pedestrian relative to what they always are. And the drama, if they lose another game, then it's really going to be all eyes on Ohio State as to what they're going to do with the program going forward. And I can't believe that Ryan Day is being held in such high regard as a coach in waiting. That just seems to be an odd storyline to be coming out right now when they could have anybody. You know, if you're Lincoln Riley, do you take the Browns job or the Ohio State job or do you stay at Oklahoma? I think it's really odd to be having a coach in waiting conversation already for a guy who, you know, beat three okay teams at the beginning of the year.
Well, it's really weird timing, but he's just setting it up. Yeah, we had Coach Barnett on yesterday, and Coach Barnett's pretty, Gary, and he's pretty locked in with former coaches and current coaches. And Barnett, out of the gate, his take on this was, well, I had a cyst that made my head hurt too for 7 years. It was called Nebraska. I mean, he has zero sympathy for Urban. Many in the coaching fraternity have zero sympathy because of how smug he is. And he is a good coach, but look what he's walked into. I know he won at Utah. I know he won at Bowling Green, but you can inherit worse programs than Florida and Ohio State.
Absolutely. And when he stepped away from Florida, where does he go?
TV ESPN. For a year, yeah.
Do you think he's going to get a lot of scrutiny by going to ESPN?
No.
Absolutely not. So, you know, you don't want to say it's been a coddled media, but he certainly owns it.
Yes.
And I actually thought he was pretty good on television. I mean, he probably should have stayed there. But now that this is surfacing again, I don't see them, you know, taking any shots at him. I'm sure Kirk Herbstreit, you know, one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of Ohio State football. never mind. But he threw for 1,500 yards 1 year and started one. But they're not going to do anything untoward with Urban Meyer. So there's just a lot of attention away from the game this weekend. And I've been, you know, looking at Ohio State stuff over the last few days, and they really don't talk about Nebraska and the game this weekend. You know, it is, they lost to Purdue. They've had 2 weeks off. Now the brain thing and Ryan Day and whoever this billionaire guy is, it's like he's the puppet who engineered Meyer to be there in the first place. And you got a guy with that kind of money, you're not going to make, you know, not going to piss him off.
No, you won't. He owns the place.
Right?
What happens tomorrow? I mean, what do you think? Does Nebraska and Frost and this offense get enough done to make this thing a shootout, or does Ohio State just run it all over Nebraska? And I know they've won throwing the ball, but I think they're going to try and exert their will.
I think this is the game where they try to run the ball. They're averaging like 170 yards per game on the ground.
Yeah.
Which is un Ohio State like. They'd certainly like to be more balanced, and they're not by any stretch of the imagination. I don't think they've had much over 100 yards in their last couple of games.
Nope.
So there's probably been a concerted effort to in practice the last 2 weeks to run the ball on Nebraska. I still think the key for I think the key in this game is Nebraska secondary, playing well against receivers that are as good as Nebraska's. How about that? And I think it's Ohio State's offensive line. If they can't, if they have made such a concerted effort on running the football this week that they are forced to and they can't get it done, that they're forced to pass, are they going to be a dominant pass protection offensive line against, a Nebraska defensive line that's probably going to take some chances and rush Haskins and, try to get, 5, 6, 7 sacks in the game. So I think it's Nebraska's secondary needing to be cognizant of when they do throw, and then Ohio State offensive line, that if they can't run any better than they have the last 2 weeks and they've got to fall back on passing, on passing the ball, can that Ohio State offensive line flip the switch and protect against a Nebraska defense that's going to be extremely aggressive with really nothing to lose? I don't think it's going to be 56-14 again,
right,
or 118-17 or whatever it's been the last 2 years. I think Nebraska goes in there, on a high.
Mm-hmm.
I think there really is, house money that they've got in their pockets. And whatever happens, happens. And I think Nebraska is going to go in there without any pressure at all.
Bill, I got about 2 minutes here. So Nebraska basketball has an exhibition against Wayne State. They won 75-40. They shot poorly. How do you see this season going? Let's start here with Nebraska. You know what's back. You know Coach Miles extremely well. Do you think they can handle the pressure?
Well, that's a very good question. Hopefully last night the result puts to bed, any talk of a Nebraska-Wayne State rivalry. I think that, even when you shoot 4 for 26 from three-point range, you still dominate them. So hopefully that's put to bed. How can they play, with a preseason top 25 ranking? They knew going into this season that there were going to be high expectations. They had such a, strong year last year, not making it into the tournament, but everybody has said this is going to be a good basketball team. So it should be no surprise that they find themselves in the top 25. And quite frankly, I was a little surprised that they were that low. I thought they'd be in the top 20. And it really doesn't matter, though, does it, until conference play begins a week from, today, or a month from today, believe it or not. But Copeland and Roby, Palmer at Watson. I mean, that's the Fantastic Four. Is Thomas Allen going to be the five guy, being the fifth starter at the guard position? They've got to have a deep bench, and I'm not sure that they do.
Nope.
But they've got to have a deep bench. The guy who hurt his Achilles back in the 18th, name escapes me, but that was, that's a bad injury for them because you got to have great guard play to go far, to get to the tournament and go far in the tournament. But Nebraska is, just as they have the entire time that Tim has been there, they have got to shoot the ball well from three. And I don't think that they have had a consistent three-point shooting season since he's been there. Maybe the year that they made it to the tournament and they got hot and they were the darlings going in, that team shot the ball reasonably well. But Nebraska has got to be at minimum a 30 to 37% three-point shooting team night in and night out. That's minimum. I mean, I think once you get into conference play, they got to have those nights that they're above 40, and Bill, that's asking a lot. But that is going to be the key.
It is. And Bill, I got 10 seconds. Give me a score prediction.
Well, I think Nebraska is going to go. I think they're going to handle Ohio State. I'm going to go back to my original Colorado score, 5-15 to 11. Or 5-11 to 15, and take the unders.
Bill, we'll get caught up next week. Thanks for the time, brother.
Bye.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Good to get caught up with Bill Dolman. Last segment, we say hi to Hall of Famer, historian, author, 41 years in Nebraska football, Mike Babcock, before Nebraska, Ohio State. Babbers, you got your popcorn all purchased for the game tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm ready to roll. And you know what? Bill Dolman needs to have more of an opinion. He shouldn't just sit on the fence all the time.
No kidding, man. That goes back a lot of years, doesn't it?
Man.
I smile with old Billy D.
I love listening to him.
Well, we love listening to you, and you've been to practice all week. You saw last Saturday. You've seen a lot of. Well, let me ask you: does this remind you of a past situation for Nebraska football, from an opportunity standpoint, in a similar opponent, when it comes to maybe projecting how this thing works out tomorrow for Nebraska?
Boy, you know, I can't think of something specific just because this is uncharted territory. You know, the 0-6 start, and then you get a couple of wins, and as Bill said, you know, maybe Nebraska comes out loose and with the mentality that you know, we got nothing to lose, and you know, you and I, we've talked about and you've talked about it. Nebraska has that big play capability with Adrian Martinez and J.D. Spielman and Stanley Morgan and, you know, Divine Ozigbo and Maurice Washington. You've got that opportunity to make those big plays, and Ohio State has been susceptible to that. So you put that together and you say, well, if you've got a nothing-to-lose attitude and you've got a little bit of confidence coming off back-to-back victories, maybe that's the right recipe for success for the Huskers, because, the Purdue game, Ohio State did not look like the Ohio State that we had seen earlier in the season.
Mike Babcock's with us, Hail Varsity Radio at MD Babs on Twitter, HailVarsity.com and magazine. That's the thing, and what's weird is, not just that they've lost the last few years, and they don't lose, but when they do, it's been in spectacular fashion. And Nebraska fans can kind of relate to that, as far as in those big games, they've been blowouts. They've been hard to watch for Nebraska fans, and things are inching closer when you look at the Wisconsin game, you look at the stage that Michigan was, and now Nebraska's righted the ship a bit, and you see that this is kind of that next mile marker opportunity. I've said it all week, and that's what I'm excited to see, just how much growth there's been. I'm anxious too, and touch on this, Mike, just what advantage Nebraska can have at quarterback and play caller tomorrow against a defense that is on their heels.
Well, you know, here's the irony of this whole thing. It was Woody Hayes, the legendary Ohio State coach, that said, three things can happen when you throw the ball, and two of them are bad. And so he ran. Now you got a guy that threw 73 passes last week, threw for just a bundle of yards. Is Ohio State's offense at this point one-dimensional enough that, you know, your question was about Nebraska's offense, but can the defense do enough against Haskins to allow Nebraska and its big play? This is obvious. You know, you're going to have to outscore them, but by that I mean they're going to put up points, and you're going to have to put up more. And can Nebraska do that? Is the potential there for Nebraska to do that? And you would think that the potential was there. Whether that's going to happen or not, I'm not sure, but Nebraska, again, has that big play capability, and Ohio State has been susceptible to those big chunk plays. And can Nebraska put together some of those? And you know, the start is important, too. It can't be a start like Michigan. You got to have some success early on, I think, to keep that confidence or, you know, we don't have anything to lose attitude going forward.
No, and the start's been highlighted, and I absolutely believe it. It is true, and it's been a while since Nebraska's had a really good start, Mike, in a big game. I think that Coach Frost will get them ready between the years to go have fun and play ball. But if it is close, you've seen Nebraska gradually get better with that learning how to win part, crushing against Northwestern. A bit tense against Minnesota. Last week was last week. Okay, in this progression of a strange 2018 season, it'd be something for this team to rise up, or, as they say, fall back on their training and finish either a comeback or a hold-on type victory tomorrow. I just don't see how Nebraska can hold up, just because too much pressure will be on the offense, and they'll almost have to be perfect.
Yeah, I agree, and I do think it's an advantage. Ohio State had the week off, to prepare for this game. And you can talk about, well, does Nebraska have better talent than Purdue? That game was at Purdue. That makes a little that makes a difference. This game is at Ohio State. So those factors, put those factors in there. And I'm not diminishing what Haskins has done. I mean, that guy, he's completing 70% of his passes, and he's thrown 30 touchdown passes and only been intercepted five times. And they haven't given up that many sacks. So that has to be dealt with. And Nebraska's secondary, I think, is susceptible. So if Nebraska is in it in the fourth quarter and has an opportunity, that's going to take that's going to take some doing. Because, again, we can say what we want about Ohio State, but the fact remains that's a team that's only lost once. And even statistically, if you look at it, Ohio State probably should have won that game against Purdue.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ohio State's still Ohio State. They're not only deep and talented, but I just worry, even without Bosa, they've got a hockey line of rotation of pass rushers in. And I know Nebraska's better, and I know the tackles have been better, but it only takes one time to get a strip sack.
Yes.
And that's just reality. Mike Babcock's with us, HaleVarsity.com and magazine at MDBabs on Twitter. Babbers, got about 5 minutes here. What do you remember about Woody Hayes? I remember the what you said about his, you know, throwing the football, you know, two out of three is bad. Wouldn't you do that? Do you know, and you've covered folks that either worked for or coached with him. Coach McBride smiled about him on Monday. Did you ever have any interactions with him, or what stories do you have to pass along about him?
You know, I back in the day when I was in Illinois, and I worked part time at the newspaper, and I did the visitors' locker room always for the home games, and so I got Woody Hayes, locker room one time, and you know, back then you could go in the locker room, and we went in the locker room, figuring we were going to talk to some players, and Woody immediately pulled a big chalkboard in front of everybody so that nobody could get past to talk to the players, and then he proceeded to give us a lecture on various things about the game. But here's the thing. Some of Woody's things, one that I always liked was that he was up on – Ohio State was up on somebody pretty good, and he went for two, even though the score was out of hand. And somebody asked him after the game why he went for two, and he said – because you can't go for three. That was the kind of competitor he was. And speaking of running the ball, you know, the legendary, to my mind, youngsters wouldn't have heard of him probably, but Jim Murray was a columnist for the Los Angeles Times for a long time, and he wrote about Woody Hayes' offense, and he said, watching Ohio State play is like watching two men lay carpet.
Man,
they ran the ball, and Murray considered that boring, and that was his approach. But he was a tough-minded guy, and as we saw, what basically ended his coaching career when he forearmed that ball carrier on the sideline in a bowl game. But boy, he was all about winning. That was for sure. And you know, as Charlie's accounts of that. Would bear that out, but he was definitely fits the term legendary coach.
Was he scary, or was he just intense?
Well, I think intense. You know, for reporters, I don't think it was intimidating because of who he was.
Sure.
You know, you know, he just pulled that chalkboard right in front of the where you would go into the fairly limited area where the players were, and it was like, okay, you're not going to be talking to these players. I'm going to give you a lecture on, you know, something. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it something about the fundamentals of football. And that was sort of the post game that we had. So, no, I don't think that he didn't try to scare you. He was just an imposing guy. And so I thought intimidation was probably the best description. And again, a lot of that had to do with his reputation and his success. You know, I'm sure that I don't remember the score from that day, but I know that Illinois didn't win the game.
Yeah. Mike, what's a a good outlook. I mean, you have Illinois coming in, not to get past Ohio State yet, obviously. But, you know, can Nebraska, can they be knocking on that five-win number? I mean, Iowa, you have Sparty. We've got a couple minutes left here. Say things go the way of Vegas and say it's a 2-3 touchdown loss tomorrow. Are you confident that the rest of November can be okay for Nebraska?
Well, yeah, you know, obviously, I think Illinois, you know, I'm predicting an Illinois win at this point, looking ahead. And I think that, you know, given the right circumstances, because it's a home game, I think Nebraska could win the Michigan State game. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, obviously, but you know, Nebraska could win the Michigan State game. Let's say that Nebraska doesn't win at Ohio State, but beats Illinois, which we would expect to happen, and then puts it all together and beats Michigan State, because that's here. And so you're coming off of a pair of victories again, and including a nice victory against Michigan State. The potential is there, I think, to win at Iowa City. But, you know, I not necessarily am I predicting that. Mm-hmm. But right now I'm looking at four wins probably.
Okay.
I think that's reasonable, but that would require success somewhere where maybe you're not expecting it.
Well, this team keeps getting better. We'll see how they put it together for kickoff tomorrow morning. Mike Babcock will have thoughts. You can read him with Hail Varsity Magazine, hailvarsity.com. 41 years of excellence covering Nebraska football at MD Babs on Twitter is where you follow him, historian, author, and Hall of Famer. Babbers, have a good weekend, my friend, and thanks for the time and the conversation today.
You too, Smitty, and it won't be two men laying carpet tomorrow, that's for sure.
I'll be good. Take care.
See ya.
That's good. Why'd you go for two, coach? Because I couldn't go for three. It's the best line ever. We need a t-shirt that says that. All right, forecast is coming up.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, winding down a Friday. Don't forget the weekend edition tomorrow at 7 a.m. Myself, Mark Kranak, Hail Varsity Radio, and then the Real Red Reaction Show. You want to sound off on Nebraska, Ohio State right after you hit triple zeros. We'll be on with you here on ESPN Lincoln. Myself and JP and Danny Burke. We will be at another house party. Myself and JP, Casa de Bolte. Well, the last time that happened, Nebraska blew a 14-point lead. I'm not saying I'm the bad luck charm, but let's just say there's a good shot Nebraska may have a lead at some point tomorrow based on recent history. But the Real Red Reaction Show, your chance to sound off and give us your in-the-moment, in-your-feelings take of Nebraska, Ohio State. We'll want to hear from you. We'll head to Columbus. We'll hear from the coach and the players and all that good stuff with you on Real Red Reaction tomorrow. Without further ado, let's get rolling here with the Friday forecast on Hail Varsity Radio. Danny Clausburn has backed out of the way for another high noon showdown between you and I.
That's right, baby. We tied last week on our wagers, so we're going to have to just carry that over and do it again.
And you know what? It's been by chance that we have tied, because it's always a steak and a beer Friday.
Yep.
That's what it is going to be, a steak and a beer Friday, you and me.
And prime rib counts. Jay Moore said so. He vouched for me.
He's a defensive lineman, and any red meat, he's like, good, bring it.
Exactly. That works. But, yeah, so we're keeping it up. We're doing overall record, and let's get it started.
Okay. Georgia -9 against Kentucky. I will go first, just so you're not, Schmidt's leeching off me, he's cheating off me. Listen, the whole world is all over Georgia on this. Kentucky's at home, Kentucky's getting 9 points. I'm going to take Kentucky and the points, despite Georgia's invincible. They are really good. They're good on offense, they're talented on defense. Terry Wilson's been good for Kentucky, but not great. I think this thing's a 27-20 or a 35-28 type deal. I don't know that Kentucky can score that many points. Kentucky's defense is for real. So I'm gonna ballpark this thing 28-21. Give me Georgia the win, Kentucky the cover.
All right. Yeah, this game, I was a little bit up in the air with it. Then I switched my mind, and now I'm feeling pretty confident. So I'll give you the little tidbits here. Georgia is 5-0 against the spread and straight up when playing Kentucky, and also 5-0 on the road versus Kentucky. Kentucky is 2-8 against the spread at home. And let's be honest, the games they've been winning, they've barely been winning those games.
There's something to be said for that. And they're only, I mean, they beat Florida on the road. Mm-hmm. You got to give them some props for that. But that was at home. My bad.
They barely beat Mizzou. What was it, in overtime this
past
weekend?
Yeah, that was at Missouri.
Oh, it was at Missouri? Okay.
That was at Missouri.
Yeah, either way, I think Kentucky's due to lose and lose by a decent margin.
So you think Georgia covers?
Yeah, so I'm thinking Georgia wins 36-24, the win and the cover.
Okay, that's good. That's great logic. I just think it's going to be juiced up in Jack Daniels land. Penn State's at Michigan. I don't know how good McSorley is. He gutted one out. He is a far cry from last year because all of his dudes are in the NFL. He's still a good quarterback. Penn State isn't just going to lose. They are going to get drilled tomorrow. Michigan is all about that revenge tour, and Harbaugh is for real with that. Give me a Michigan win, 38-17, the win, the cover for Captain Khakis.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Penn State is 1-7 straight up against Michigan on the road, and Michigan is 6-1 against the spread at their last seven in the Big House. So I'm taking Michigan to win and cover 35-21. Penn State's going to be put in their place.
Yep, they will be. And this is an okay Penn State team, but it's more of a 9-4.
Yeah.
Penn State team. Let's head to Chicago. The city of Evanston is going to be all about the Irish and the Wildcats. I love this game. Don't kid yourself. You've heard Coach McBride talk about Coach Fitzgerald. You've heard Coach Barnett talk about Coach Fitzgerald. And Pat wanted to be a Notre Dame Fighting Irishman. They didn't recruit him. He has never forgotten nor forgiven that. Things worked out okay. He was incredible at Northwestern. Everybody at Northwestern wants to blow up the Fighting Irish. They just do. It's going to be pro Notre Dame. Chicago's a monster. South Bend, South City. It's going to be a win for Notre Dame, but a cover for Northwestern because that is what they do. They'll keep things close. And it'll be 10's a lot. 10 is a lot for Northwestern to get at home. And I know the home is in air quotes. Give me Notre Dame 27 and Northwestern 20.
Ooh, okay. I thought I might have had the same score, but I don't. This one.
Are we on the same page with this one?
Yeah, but see, the thing is, you know, I'm kind of a big Notre Dame guy. I grew up Notre Dame, so I'm going to be pissed if it goes the other way. Not too pissed because they'll end up winning, but I think Northwestern will cover as well, despite them being 2-4 against the spread the last six games at home. But Notre Dame is 4-4 against the spread. Not the greatest this year. And Notre Dame is 11-4 straight up their last 15 versus Big Ten opponents. So I'm right there with you. Notre Dame will win. Northwestern will cover. But Notre Dame wins 32-24.
This would be so Northwestern of them to knock them out.
Yeah, it really would.
Get to 6-3 and then have the West Championship next week against Iowa. Bama at LSU. This line's now at 14.5. Listen, I think Alabama's phenomenal. We'll have the sound of Saban when we come back. I think he's feeling good. He's feeling confident. LSU's offense has been better than past years, but it's still not great. I think Alabama wins this, obviously. I think they do cover. I mean, Joe Burrow's going to get eaten alive. The story will be the Alabama defense. As good as LSU's defense has been, the offense won't be able to help them. Alabama 37. That's a lot of points. Give me Alabama 27, LSU 10.
Okay, well, Obviously, you didn't know this because Alabama hasn't won by 14 or more in Death Valley since 2006.
Different Bama team.
That's true. But LSU, 7-2 against the spread their last nine at home. Alabama, 8-3-1 against the spread while playing LSU on the road. So there's a little bit of luck for you that way. You know, I can't go against Coach O. They screwed me the one time with that loss to Florida, but otherwise they've been great. So I'm going to say LSU will cover. Bama will win 40-28. Go Tigers.
It's a lot of points.
Alabama puts up points, baby.
No, I'm talking, that's a lot of points for LSU's offense.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, Nebraska and Ohio State. Nebraska gets the cover, but they lose 45-31. And it'll be the offense that has a good day but can't be perfect. Not their fault, just reality. I think Ohio State gets the run game going, and Nebraska's just in pursuit mode most of the day. 45-31, Ohio State.
Yeah, I'm against you here. I think this is going to be more of that Michigan-type game, except Nebraska's offense will be a little bit better. Ohio State is 1-5 against the spread in their last six games, so that's something to look at. But Nebraska's 0-4 against the spread against Ohio State. Ohio State's not going to – it's not going to be a close game after a bye, so they'll win. They'll cover 55-28.
So you think it's kind of an ass-kicking?
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair. We shall see. Steak and a Beer Friday with Schmitty here and Danny Burke. We'll say goodbye. Hail Varsity continues presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Here's that Saban confidence cut 11. This was the infamous Nick Saban call-in show. He does Thursday nights at a bar down in Tuscaloosa. Our old buddy Lars Anderson has been a guest there a lot in his time sitting in on it. And he says it's, well, it's rabid, as you can imagine. But this is pretty good. This comes to the coin toss. You calling heads or tails? You kicking or you receiving?
Y'all win the toss. Which one do you think you might go on that deal?
Well, to be honest with you, you know, I hope we elect to kick ass is what I hope we do. But
Nick Saban feeling it. How many times have you seen him wound up so tight he is trying to burn holes through people with his stare, LSU week? He is feeling great. He's feeling great about his quarterback. He's feeling great about his offense. He's feeling good about his defense. And he knows the offense that he's facing LA. The last time they went down there when it was this type of stakes, they got beat 13-7 because Alabama can do a lot of things, but they can never find a field goal kicker.
That quote is the reason I'm terrified of picking LSU plus 14.5.
No, he doesn't do that. He's absolutely feeling great.
Yeah, that's why I'm,
he's
that's
comfortable.
Why I'm scared.
That, on a Thursday, no less. On a Thursday, no less.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all Hayes in the barn by then. Game plan's great, or it sucks, and you're in trouble, or it's going to be okay.
I'm excited, though, man. I'm pumped.
You know what's going to be sweet is Nebraska, Ohio State tomorrow. Hail Varsity weekend gets you going. Then the Real Red Reaction Show, and then we'll have Bama LSU for you. Boom.
Perfect.
And then you got Notre Dame, and Northwestern. So a couple of great football games.
Yeah, some other games, too, we didn't even get to, like West Virginia and Texas going.
That'll be
it.
Good. You got Dana, the Skullet versus Herman. I think there'll be 1,000 points scored in that one.
Yeah.
Right,
I would lean that way.
Don't you think? I mean, the Big 12 is the Big 12. The Big 12 is the overs league.
Speaking of overs, I think Nebraska, Ohio State was like at 72 or
yep.
something like
that.
I
think that hits the overs, don't you?
Yeah, I don't see how you could take the unders or even root for the unders in that game. There's no way you could go that direction.
I think this thing's similar to that 2012 game where Nebraska's in it and then not, and it's, I don't say it's 63-38 bad, where you just get rocked. I just want to see Nebraska's defense give up fewer big plays
mm-hmm.
than Ohio State's. And that could be it. Which defense sucks less against two offenses that are really good? That's the state of football now. Let's get you qualified one more time. A week from today, the giveaway for the Black Friday Roadie with your friends at T.O. Haas Tire.
Worse? How could they get any worse? We're at the threshold of hell!
Is this heaven?
as I will.
The jolliest bunch of fools this side of the nut house.
Hey, you know, America loves points.
Thank you, Diaco. All right, caller 8, caller 9, qualify the Black Friday road trip. Your friends at T.O. Haas Tire. Tickets to Nebraska, Iowa, hotel, gas, gift card from T.O. Haas, and gift card from your friends at Jet Splash. Caller 8, caller 9. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning, weekend edition, 7 a.m. Real Red Reaction right after Nebraska, Ohio State. Have a good one.